Chad. As we come back on this 9/11, part of what's happened on this day in history, maybe not as much sports history today as usual, courtesy of our friends from Superior Rents, as we remember 9/11. Where were you, Shane? What was happening in your world on 9/11?
I was in my one and only year with the Wichita Wranglers. The season had ended. Couldn't have been much more before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we were in the midst of kind of a team-building thing. So we were, I don't know if we were on a scavenger hunt or we're just kind of messing around, basically, the staff.
Right, right.
And weren't really near many TVs, if any. And so I was a little late to that 9/11 breaking news, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think we eventually made our way back to the office probably – maybe about this time. So it was a couple of hours after the planes hit the towers, and then obviously that grounded us pretty good, literally and figuratively. You know, like
turn a TV on.
What's going on? So I wasn't exactly following it, play by play. I was a little late because we were out and about. But yeah, I was working with the Wranglers at that time. And you had alluded to earlier in the show, you were in California, so you don't know exactly what happened on Sports Daily, which was 1 year old at the time. You said a couple days ago, now Bob was, you guys didn't necessarily turn it over to national programming. Bob was doing kind of the play-by-play with Jared?
Well, yeah, it was all in real time, and this news was breaking nationally, internationally, right at this time, towards the back end of the show, and networks hadn't taken over, local entities hadn't, because no one knew what was going on.
Yeah,
I mean, at first, when the first reports were that a plane had hit one of the towers. Mm-hmm. And at that point, no one had an understanding. Was it a commercial airliner? Was it a jet? Was it a prop? Was it what was the deal? And you took notice, but it wasn't that kind of holding you wrapped sort of thing initially. It was a plane.
Nobody could have been all that sure that it was a terrorist attack. You know?
No. Right. No. It wasn't until a little bit later when things started to percolate a little bit more that we started to get an understanding of the breadth and the seriousness of this. But I believe, and Tony Deusing would be able to confirm this, but I believe that we were on the air, we meaning Sports Daily, we're on the air until the completion of the show. There wasn't any interruption of Sports Daily. But Bob and Jared were basically doing, for lack of, and not to sound flippant, were basically doing play-by-play of breaking events based on what they were seeing on television at that particular point. Now, in the meantime, I'm 1,300 miles away in the Palm Springs area, and I'd spent a couple of days after the USC K-State football game in L.A. with my mom and dad and playing some golf and just, you know, catching up and this, that, and the other thing. And my wife, Sarah, called that morning. It was a Tuesday morning, and I was scheduled to fly out of Ontario, not Palm Springs itself. I was going to go all the way into Ontario and fly out of Ontario, California, back to Wichita. Mm-hmm. And she called and said, are you watching television? And I said, well, no, we don't have the television on. She said, well, turn it on. You're not going anywhere today. And of course, this was just before the second plane hit and the buildings, went down. And, I mean, there was some period of time. But the thing that struck me the most was with all of the powers of communication and in the center of of American communication in New York City, no one knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
No one. I mean, it was unfolding. No, there were plumes of smoke, obviously, coming from the one building in Lower Manhattan out of the World Trade Center. But no one had the faintest idea of what was really going on. And the uncertainty of it was the scariest part of it. Because obviously it advanced pretty quickly to, planes now are hitting the World Trade Center.
And the Pentagon.
Both buildings. And the Pentagon.
I think that was the tipping point right there. When the Pentagon is involved, it's like, oh, my God, we're in trouble.
Oh, my God, what is happening? Yeah. You know, and how many planes are dropping from the sky in this? At some point, there was a feeling of, well, this is obviously an organized effort, and when will it end? So that was the backdrop of uncertainty that you had. And all of a sudden, even though I'm with family, I'm not with my main family, you know, with my immediate family particular point. And all you want to do is get to where they are. Yeah. That was the motivation at that particular point. Well, I call the airport and I've got a rent a car, and they say, well, please get the car back. We're getting our entire fleet back in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Sarah, at that point, and we had conversations, she said, well, there's no way you're going to be flying today. Mm-hmm. And this was before they grounded planes, but it seemed like a fairly logical conclusion. And sure enough, that's what happened later on that day. So the story goes, I kept the car and did not return it. Instead, I gassed it up and said, called them and said, I'm driving it to Wichita, which they weren't too happy about, but I did it anyway. I drove over to Phoenix and had lunch with my brother, who was still there at the time. It's about a four-hour drive over from the Palm Springs area to Phoenix, and we had lunch and got the latest information. And then here's the part that Ryan was talking about. Then I got on the road and did the rest of this trip. And this was before satellite radio.
Right.
And by this time, national radio had taken over. Mm-hmm. So you could follow this story that was unfolding by just having a radio on.
Yeah.
Because that's all anyone was doing. And this, like I said, was before satellite radio. So this was a new concept, but it was the only thing that everybody had on their radio. Now, there were different national, things about it, a different national radio broadcast. But Ryan is right. The one thing that made this different is that wherever you drove, people were looking out for people.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, where are you from? Where are you headed? Are you doing okay? Do you need anything? Get home with your family. And you were concerned about them in much the same way. I've often wondered, and even now, 18 years later, why we can't hold on to that as a as a society and as Americans. We don't do a really good job of that on a day-to-day basis. It takes us crisis, and we still are able to pull together. But for those days, and I drove basically straight through. I stayed in, slept free in Tucumcari, New Mexico for about 2.5 hours and then drove back in. So it was an absolutely surreal thing. Was never happier to get back to Wichita, Kansas, and to get home to my family. Closing thoughts in a minute.